Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Hello, this is your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling in live this week from Dallas, Texas, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I've got my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady, joining me on the air today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello there.
How are you?
I'm great. Excited to be here, as always. And I know we have a terrific guest. I cannot wait for this. And I know you've been looking forward to our guest today as well. So, and you've had all kinds of amazing things happening recently with some big events going on and connections, and it's been just a really great time in the world of relationship marketing, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well,
all right.
Why don't I let you do the honors of telling everyone who our guest is today?
I will do that, and I just had to reboot my computer with all my notes, but I will start off. Brad Semp is our guest today, and Brad is somebody that I know. He does things in a way that is near and dear to your heart because he really, truly does create systems for what he does, and he makes these what he calls cash maps. So what he does is have a very specific system and a very specific way for organizing everything for somebody's business. So the idea is that he sets it up in such a way that you can hand this system over with all the pieces and say, okay, here's the system, and then here's how you do each piece of it, and you can get things done the way they need to be. So Dr. Bradley Semp, he does definitely create those really streamlined and efficient, profitable business systems. And he calls those cash maps, and he and his team really are able to kind of untangle and to optimize and make systems work much better. So the strategies and the tactics that he's developed and employs to help business leaders to clearly visualize the business processes and to make them work really well. And he has definitely caught the attention of some big-time people, including Mark Joyner, which I know we'll talk about here today. So Brad has a PhD in systems engineering, and he is a registered professional engineer and has all kinds of other accolades to his name. And his company is CashMap Systems, and that's really where he focuses on business-based solutions for entrepreneurs and business owners. So we're really excited to have Brad here with us today and being able to share with us. So welcome to you, Brad.
Hey, welcome. Thank you, Gina and Rhonda. It's great to be here. I really appreciate that awesome introduction, and I'm really excited to talk to you about systems and how they apply to relationship marketing, so thanks for having me on today.
Well, I'm so glad that you could join us.
Absolutely.
Well, I have a chat open, so if anyone has questions for Brad as we're talking to him today, feel free to put your questions in the chat or raise your hand. And we'll try and get those questions to Brad as soon as we can. So,
absolutely.
Brad, how did you get started with the whole idea of cash maps?
Where to start? Well, you know, I can tell you, I'll go way back. I've always been a entrepreneurial spirit, you know, all the way back to finding and selling golf balls on reselling golf balls to people on the tees at golf courses, real young, single digit ages, and so just kind of every phase of my life through that, from that point forward, has been about entrepreneurial endeavors, and you know, so I went to, I did go to college. I went the more the traditional route rather than the entrepreneurial route, and wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and ended up just going into engineering because it was engineering. And so I came out with an engineering degree, and from there went into the quote, you know, corporate world, and then decided to go back and say, you know, I really want to go on for some higher education. And got involved in what's called systems engineering. And a lot of folks will confuse systems engineering with computer type stuff. Primarily, they'll say, the first question is, oh, that's computer systems. And it's like, no, it's not really computer systems. It's about looking at things in this world in terms of systems and how they're, you know, how things relate to one another and how you can optimize things in terms of systems. And so that's where I really got my start into the systems world, systems thinking, and that was, in the late 90s, and then from there, about 6-7 years ago, I really kind of revisited my entrepreneurial spirit and got involved in internet marketing, and then that's where these two whole worlds, you know, my world of engineering and systems collided with my entrepreneurial desires. And that's really, that storm right there is where CashMap Systems was born. And what really led to the development of CashMap Systems was, you know, as I was getting into internet marketing and, more entrepreneurial dream, chasing those entrepreneurial dreams, it became really evident, really clear to me that nobody was really teaching you in a systematic way how to, you know, become an entrepreneur. I was an aspiring entrepreneur working full time, you know, moonlighting at night. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I sell these products to help you do this, do that, you know, okay, yeah, here, I'll teach you, give me your money and I'll teach you how to, you know, do email marketing, or give me your money and I'll teach you how to do pay-per-click marketing. But nobody was really, they weren't teaching those things in a systemized format. And then nobody was giving you the bigger picture to step back and say, well, how do all these things fit together? How does email marketing relate to pay-per-click marketing and, you know, and so forth? And that right there is where I kind of brought it together. So there's a need for systems and system engineering and systems thinking in the entrepreneurial space. And that right there is what cash maps are all about. So that was long-winded, but hopefully that makes sense to you.
That does make sense to me.
Yeah, and you know what it makes me think of, Gina and all of us, we know how people a lot of times get started and they think, oh, I need traffic, oh, I need to do email marketing, oh, I need to do Twitter marketing or whatever, and they pick this one little tactic, and that's what you were saying is realizing, hey, it's not about the tactics, it's about a strategy, and then because of your engineering background, that's what made you able to create those cash maps, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, and it is. It's the big picture thinking. So it's the strategy and the tactics, you know, and that's unfortunately far too many people, and it's driven by our culture, and this is just my personal soapbox here, but, you know, a lot of cultural type things that go on today and the need for here now, you know, I want it yesterday, I want to earn $10,000 by, you know, noon tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that really forces people into or leads people into believing, well, if I just take this next trick, if I just take this next tactic and I implement that, you know, I'll get that, I'll get what I want. And so what it leads to is the, you know, the chasing of that dream and the chasing of tactics without ever stepping back and understanding what the bigger picture, the bigger vision, the architecture, the strategy, you know, is that's actually going to enable your success and for you to reach your dreams and your goals.
Absolutely. And I know for so many people, what you've just said is really going to come as a big aha because they don't realize that that's the way that it really works. So how can someone who's never really used the idea of a cash map, how can they get started using them?
Yeah, well, so the best thing about, and there's two different conversations or threads of conversations here, right? One is, business systems in general. And so, you know, with my business, and I'm just going to give you a little background in my business to kind of distinguish between the two trains of thought here. My business is broken up into two pieces as well, right? So one is, business systems. So going out and working with companies of all sizes and helping them to take their business systems to identify what is actually in place today, what documenting that, looking for ways to optimize those business processes, business systems, and then implementing those and rolling them out and continuously improving them. Where cash maps fit in, right, is short of that, short of actually doing it yourself, short of going through those steps that I just described right there. And that's what a lot of people get hung up on. They're like, oh, I don't understand systems. I'm just going to stay away from it. That's where cash maps enter into the picture, because cash maps are essentially pre-designed, pre-tested systems, that you can take right now and deploy, in your business. With that being said, though, still understanding and being careful that you understand that a cash map is focused on one area of your business, and so what you don't want to do is get back stuck in the same thing where you're just so narrow-minded on I'm just implementing pay-per-click marketing. I'm going to take this cash map on PPC and implement it, and all my problems are going to be solved. No. You need to understand where you're going in your business and understand what is the next piece that you need to put in place to move your business forward. And then there's a cash map likely there for you that will allow you to take that cash map and implement it yourself, and or give it to your team or outsource it to to someone to implement it for you.
Yeah, and that last part that you said, I think, is a real powerful thing. When you have a cash map, you can easily give it to someone else to implement for you so that you can continue working on your business instead of in your business.
That's
I think
right.
Folks have a hard time distinguishing between the two. So will a cash map help them figure out what's working on versus in their business?
Absolutely. So, let's try to just break that down just a little bit, the on versus the in. Let's just use pay-per-click marketing. Let's use article marketing. That's a better one. I like to use free traffic generation stuff. I keep saying pay-per-click because that's something that I started with, years ago in the internet marketing space. But it's really something that should only be endeavored, once you're profitable and you can focus on that. So let's use article marketing. So here's an example of that, right? Working in your business would be writing articles and distributing them, which is awesome. I mean, that's something that somebody should do as part of their long-term traffic generation strategy for building in links to the site, gaining exposure and building your email list, without a doubt. So, to get started, most people will be working in that business, meaning that they're going to be actually writing the articles themselves. They're going to, figure out where they're going to distribute those and that sort of thing. Now, when you systematize that, right, you build a process for how you do that. What your mindset is like, okay, I read an article today, and then I'm going to go distribute it to that place there, and then this place over here, and I'm going to submit it on Twitter. I'm going to put a link to it on Twitter, and I'm going to submit it on LinkedIn, or wherever you submit the stuff to. That's building that particular process, and you're doing it, so you're working in your business. Now, to shift from in your business to on your business, right, where the mindset has to shift from is you're going to find somebody who's actually going to write the articles for you, who's going to distribute those articles for you, and you are focusing on the process. You're focusing on, okay, I'm going to build the process, give it to somebody and say, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to write articles in this frequency, these topics, this keyword strategy. You're going to send them over here to this person, or maybe it's the same person. You're going to distribute them to, place A, B, C, D, E, and then we're going to repeat that every day, every week, every month, whatever it is. And so your focus goes from actually writing the articles and distributing the articles, and it shifts. It shifts over to understanding what your process is and focusing on your process. So, for instance, over time you might say, I want to add 5 more distribution points for these articles. Well, that type of thinking is where you're working on your business, because now you're actually taking that article distribution process that you've built and you're optimizing it, and you're working it on. All you have to do is say, I want to submit it to 5 more. You change your process or notify the people that are working in your business and tell them, hey, from now on, I want you to also distribute it to the at least five to your to the distribution list, and that I hope you know is will help clarify for people the difference between working in, which is actually doing the work, or working on, which is focusing on the processes and systems of your business and letting other people focus on the in.
Mm-hmm. Did that help you, Rhonda?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's a great distinction for people, and it's important to find ways, especially as you move forward. You know, it's like part of the reason why people take up this entrepreneurial adventure, as I like to call it, of running a business out of your home. But a lot of times you get caught up in the daily minutiae, whether it's writing mm-hmm. articles, blog posts, or using the various social media and so forth. And so having these strategies is great because it's easier if there's a system already in place and you say, well, I want to add this or subtract that or tweak whatever, then you can still worry about that and hand it over to someone else to do, which is great. I think, Gina, I'm thinking about this special outsourcing company that's coming up real soon and how wonderful it can be to say, oh, here's the cash maps for all these different processes and this what can be used. So it would make it very, very streamlined for everybody. And then the thing is that it lets you as an entrepreneur be able to work from your strength. Because I don't know any of us who really get hyper jazzed about submitting our blog to RSS readers every day or things like that. So, you know, I sure, yep. I mean, it can make me want to cry to do those little minutiae kinds of things because that's not why I'm in business. And while there may be a good reason to do certain things, they're not necessarily a good use of your time when you have a vision that's really big to do something.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And so there's this distinction that has to be made, right? There are tasks that as a business owner and an entrepreneur that you need to be doing, which is the strategic, managerial business growing task. And then there's the task that like you described, the menial task. And there are definitely times where you need to cross over. So I'll give you a prime example of that. You know, after the many years of focusing on my doctoral work and finally wrapped that up, you know, it felt like I had this weight lift off my shoulder and said, yeah, woo-hoo, right, woo, and said, all right, so now what? Well, one of the things that I said, and I'd always want, I do like to write, and I said, all right, well, you know what? I'm finally going to make the commitment to writing a daily, a daily blog post, and it's on systems that can be found at bradsemp.com, if anybody's interested in that. But the point of that is, right, I don't outsource that. That's something that I can't outsource it because, and I did try in the past, honestly, but I not everyone thinks the same way that I do and can communicate the message that I want to communicate. So, blog that in my blog, for some would be a menial task. But for me, because it's a specialized topic and it's something that I draw a lot from my personal experiences, it's not a menial task, and it's actually a very important piece of my strategic puzzle. So that's one of those things where, I just want to kind of point that out for people that, you really need to look at, you can't just look at somebody else and say, well, he or she does that, so I need to do that. No, you need to look at your own situation, your own business, and make a distinction between strategic-type tasks, tactical-type tasks. And, again, we're talking a lot of Michael Gerber language here, but that's fine because, the stuff he teaches is right on. But it's being strategic and understanding where you need to focus your time. And if something that you don't like to do or you're not good at doing, get rid of it. Outsource it. And I think that's where having a cash map is, rather than you building it and spending the time to figure out, well, how are we going to do this and how am I going to outsource this, grab the cash map for a particular topic, and you can outsource that cash map as it is, or you can spend some time to tweak it a little bit and make it your own and then outsource it. Lots of different options.
Mm-hmm. Right, and for us, we don't really think of blogging as a menial task in the same way that submitting your RSS feed to distribution is menial.
But some people do. Some people do view that as a menial task, and they're like, yeah, it's just about getting any content out there. I'm going to outsource that and have somebody write me one blog post per day or one blog post per week. So I'm on your camp, but and it's not right or wrong, but it's just understanding. Yeah, definitely.
Did we lose you, Rhonda?
No, I'm still here. No, I was just saying it's not right or
no,
not, definitely not right or wrong.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you are still there.
Okay. No, I'm here.
Right.
I didn't go anywhere.
The party carries on.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and I think these are important distinctions that people do not think about. And here's the other thing I was thinking about regarding systems and strategic planning. I think for most people, it's just a scary prospect. Most people are not.
Yeah, that's what I see too, Rhonda.
Right. I mean, see, Gina, don't you think, like, I know that when I was in school, one of my very favorite classes, actually, it was a course, on its surface, it was a course about advertising, and we used this book, and it was telling you how to be aware of the advertising language that can be misleading, words like virtually and, you know, those kinds of things. But on a deeper level, it was a critical thinking course, and that was just kind of the lead-in. And it was extremely interesting. I still remember it, and I still remember the lessons. And I was fortunate because in the program that I had, I was in a gifted program, and we did have more of that strategic thinking type of stuff. But most people don't have it. And when you say, let's create a system, people are going to go, I don't know how to do that. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. What if I do it wrong? I don't even know where to start.
That's a great point.
One of the things that I think is so brilliant about your cash maps is that for somebody who goes, okay, listen, I've heard I need to, that this is part of it, I want to be able to do this, so whether I do it or whatever, but I have no idea where to begin, and that can really be helpful. Because I just see that people don't have the first idea of how to set up a strategy to do things.
Yeah, well, that's something I can give some points and some pointers and some tips. But first, you know, you've hit on a great, just a great point, and it's so true. It is so true, especially in the entrepreneurial world, in the internet marketing world, right? Solopreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, that sort of thing. The word, just in general, and not everybody, but, you know, if I was a stereotype, with all the clients that we've worked with in the past, continue to work with, the word system just freaks people out. It literally does. It freaks people out. And so, you know, if I can, what I'll do is I'll just say a few words about, you know, the way that I view a system and then some real, you know, easy tips and tricks to kind of overcome maybe some misconceptions about it. But, you know, a system really is basic sense. And this is interesting. I'll tell you what it is, and I'll tell you the interesting story. Here's the definition. It's a set of things that works together to perform a common goal. You know, that's it. It's a set of things that works together to perform a common goal. And the things typically, right, are humans, computers, you know, it's like physical, tangible things, and then in actions, right? So the actions that you take. So you can think of, like, in your business, it's you know, your employees, the actions that you take, the actions that your employees get, and how you work together to you know, to perform your common goal, which in business is to you know, generate a profit, number one. For some, maybe it's not about making money. Maybe it's about, you know, other things. But whatever your goal is, that's really what a system is. Now, I said what an interesting story is that one of my recent blog posts was on that exact topic right there, what is a system? And for, you know, some of the areas that I distribute my posts to, one of them is LinkedIn. And that particular topic gained just substantial traction because, you know, people are in disagreement, you know, of exactly what a system is. And I think that goes to and speaks to the point of why entrepreneurs are just like, oh, systems, I want to stay away from that. But it's really simple. And so if you think about it, it's things and actions, getting back to the definition now for a minute, right? So apply that to your business. It is as simple as starting to document your actions. It's as simple as that. Now, here's why. Typical entrepreneurs, as I think, you know, both Rhonda and Gina, you had mentioned earlier, we get caught up in the menial tasks throughout the day. And, you know, it's sitting there checking email. It's, you know, searching and surfing the web. Maybe mix in a little bit of work of writing an article or maybe even producing some content that may be saleable one day, you know. But, you know, rather than a clear step-by-step, it's like, this is what I need to do, this is how I'm going to go do it, it's just kind of, well, I'm busy. I don't know what happened today, I'm just busy. I'm doing all these different tasks. But there's really no rhyme or reason. There's no direction. moving something forward. So, like, starting to build your systems, right, short of going and grabbing a cache map and starting there, you know, all it is starting to have an awareness, becoming aware of the actions that you're taking, and for everything that you do, making sure that whatever action it is, that it's done for a purpose, and it's done for a reason. It's called what I call the right action. It's done to move you closer to your goal, and, you know, building a system around that really begins, as I said, as simple as starting to document what actions that you're taking. And if I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, if you were to look at, say, a log of the actions that they're taking, it's like, oh, check the email for 35 minutes. Oh, search different websites. I mean, I think it helps people become aware to be like, wow, this email stuff, this is kind of a disaster. This really isn't helping me, move forward, or surfing the web really isn't helping me move forward. And I think that's really where it starts, is just documenting the actions that you're taking. And then we can talk as we move forward here on what you do with those. But getting them on paper is such a critical first step.
Good.
Well,
does that make sense?
It does.
You know, what about you?
Is there any kind of a tool that people can use to get them down on paper? Or do they just sit down with a pencil and a pad?
Oh, you know what? I sit down with a pencil and a pad of paper. With that said too, depending on how you learn or how you think, you know, some people like flow charts and that sort of thing, you know, like a cache map. That's wonderful if you want to draw something out in a flow chart. But even the cache maps, you know, which is essentially a process map that we build, start with a list of actions. Start with a list of things that we do, and then we take that list and put it into the right order and test it. And so, starting with a piece of paper to write down your actions on a piece of paper, or in Excel. Excel is a great one. You know, you can go ahead. And so, with that, people don't have to have these, you know, elaborate process maps. They can have another effective way of tracking what you do is just to have a checklist. You know, just to have a checklist of activities that you'd go, you know, that you do throughout a day.
That's a good way to do it. I have a favorite piece of software that I use for flow charting.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead on that.
I'm sorry. I know, Gina, that you love flow charting, but if somebody isn't that familiar with flow charting, I think that's kind of like telling them, well, go do surgery. You've used a knife before, right?
Right.
You know, start with, you know, breaking it down a little further. If you already think in flowcharts and systems, then to say, well, just flowchart what you do right off the bat is probably fine. But for the vast majority of people, I think just keeping track of to start with and knowing what you do in a day, and also that helps you realize your time leaks. And I know, Gina, that's something that you teach in your system as well, is finding where's your time going, what's productive, what isn't, so that you can cut away what isn't and make things more efficient if they're not, and keep the things that are working right. So, that's definitely a good start to just get it written down. I don't think most people truly have a handle on where their time goes and what happens during their day.
No, most people do not.
I would agree with you, Rhonda. My favorite flow charting tool is super easy to use, and it's totally free. You'll find it at askggg.com/DIA, D for David, IA. It's called DIA or DIA, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I just call it DIA. Really easy to use flowchart. It's not like Visio, which I find extremely complicated. But I usually just carry some paper around and start drawing on paper. The whole idea is to get something down visually that you can follow later, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, some people, many people do, like myself, learn and like to look at the visual stuff. But boy, again, I've had many clients that the visual just really, freaks them out. And so, we went with the flow chart. But yeah, either one. And that sounds like a great tool. We use in our team, we use Visio. And then, and I get this question a lot, but just to kind of point it out here for folks, if anyone's wondering, and have seen our cache maps, it never fails. Multiple times a week, we get contact from people that says, "Hey, what program do you use for your cache maps?" And Our team designs them in Visio, but then they're actually hand designed. So that's how the cash maps that people see, the saleable cash maps that people actually see reach the market, have been professionally designed by a designer by hand. So, but
one of my students came up with a really cool tool recently. He uses a Mac, and you can't use the software that I use on a Mac. So he went out to find another alternative, and he found a site called Dabbleboard, Dabbleboard, Dabbleboard. Hmm. It is an interactive flowcharting tool so that you can collaboratively design flowcharts and share with someone else who's doing the drawing with you. And boy, is that a sweet little tool.
Yeah, that's actually new to me. I'll have to check that one out. What is that one again, Gina?
Dabbleboard, Dabbleboard .com.
Okay, cool.
Dabbleboard.com.
Yeah.
And while you're collaboratively drawing it, you can be in both a video chat and a text chat communicating with the other person. Really, really slick.
Yeah, very cool. I'll check that out. I'm a Mac user as well. And so I've moved away from Visio for what the times that I am charting things. And I use one called Omnigraffle, OmniGraffle, Omnigraffle Professional. Which is really good. It's just like, but that's more like Visio for Mac. Another free one that's out there is Gliffy, which is a web-based flow charting. And I haven't checked them out recently, but I know they did have a full free level. I'm not sure if they still do, but it's G as in girl, Liffy, Gliffy.com. That's another tool that people have found.
I was at an event this weekend with Kevin Wilkie and his team. And they also use Gliffy in theirs. And boy, oh boy, what a neat little tool. They do still have a free version.
Yeah, so that's one I'd highly recommend folks, check out too. But yeah, if flowcharting is not for people, for someone, then no doubt about it, the next thing that I would do would be to, I'd fall back on something like Excel or, numbers if you're a Mac person. And just put things, in Excel in order, order or not order, right? So part of building a system is actually just, having the tasks and activities at hand and making sure that they're done on a consistent basis. So you might have daily tasks, weekly tasks, monthly tasks, and just having a checklist, is a form of systematizing your business to making sure that tasks are being done at the right frequency. But then you can, you can also put things in order in Excel or numbers and say, okay, I need to do step one, step two, step three, 10 steps in a row. And whether you find it more beneficial to look at it in that format, in a list, or to draw it out graphically, or flowchart it, it's to each their, to everyone's own fancy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you're starting to draw or outline or whatever you're going to do, where do you start?
Great question. Well, first thing, there's a couple different approaches, right? So if you're talking about somebody's business, right, that's already in business and already doing things. So let's talk from an entrepreneurial state here for a second. And so that means that, as you're investigating your actions and identifying what you're doing, you want to get those down. So you want to get that list of actions. And so it could be just what you're doing in your day, but more specifically, like let's say you've launched a product. Let's say you've launched a product before and you then would like to systematize that so that you can do it again and or you can outsource it to somebody to, help you with bits and pieces of it or do the whole thing for you. Now you need to focus on, all right, well, what are the actions that I did to launch a product? And get those actions, again, down on paper, just in a list. And so that's where, if you've done something before, or if you're doing something now, well, then you start by drawing from your own experience. You start by, looking at what you've done and getting those actions on paper. Now, that's a little different than if, somebody says, oh, hey, I now want to get you into something else, or you hear something that's, the next greatest marketing craze, and you don't know anything about it. Well, that kind of shifts in that situation, now you either need to, you know, you need to do research, to either do research online or go find an expert in it and interview them, or find a product on a particular topic and then digest that product, or you know, pull everything together that you can from researching or talking with somebody and put down the actions, you know, that you're able to identify. So in either case, it's all about pulling out those actions and getting them on a paper so that you can clearly see, okay, these are all the steps that need to be done. Now, you haven't ordered them and prioritized them, or, you know, put them in a sequence yet, but at least you've flushed them all out and gotten them on paper. So that's where to start. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know,
good.
That brings me to another idea. One of the things that I used to do back before I had products of my own, when I was still being a JV broker, if there was a product that I wanted to sell as an affiliate, you'll find that when you go out and look at most products that are sold online, it might be an ebook, it might be an audio course, but they don't usually include something like a flowchart or a process map or whatever you want to call it. So
right.
To sell products as an affiliate, I would oftentimes create a flowchart of the process talked about in the affiliate product that I'm selling, and give it away as a bonus just to build my list. And
mm-hmm.
oftentimes I would get other affiliates coming to me saying, hey, can I use your bonus? And I'd say, sure, as long as you don't mind people subscribing to my list. Oh, yeah, they'd say. So other
yep.
affiliates would grow my list too. Talk about
mm-hmm.
an easy way to add value to any product. It's probably the
mm-hmm.
easiest one I know of.
Absolutely. And that's... you know, that's one of the main areas of, you know, of growth of CashPAP systems as well, is that, you know, yes, we have, I don't know the exact number right now, between 65 and 70 CashPAP packages. Each package consists of like 8 to 12 CashPAPs, you know, per. But whatever that number is, there's a good number, you know, a good number of them. But beyond that, where growth has really, you know, happened over the last 12 to 18 months and continues, is really in that same fashion, is that, you know, we found and we've been sought out by partners who have said, hey, we love your CashPAPs. You know, can we work together? Can you take our product? Can you build a single CashPAP or a full CashPAP package that describes exactly what my product is all about here and adds that additional value? So it's really the same thing, Gina, is kind of what you were doing there, you know, from the JV side of things. And it's a brilliant, very, very brilliant of you, you know, to do that. And I can, you know, as far as list building stuff, that's great. That's awesome. So, yeah, somebody could do that rather easily.
Well, and I think with what you just said, it really indicates that so many product creators don't even think in terms of doing this. So that they end up coming to you and saying, hey, can we work together? Can you help me do this for my product? This is really a skill, I think, or really an art more than anything, that if you can really get in the habit of doing it and master it, can bring lots and lots and lots of joint venture opportunities to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without a doubt. And you're right. It's both. It is. There's some skill to it, but there is definitely, you know, the art side to it as well. And you know, we've had in the past a CashPAP developer program, and that was, you know, a successful program that we put through tens and tens of people, where we basically taught methodologies for, you know, how to go through some of the things that, you know, we've already talked about here and more of, you know, where do you start? How do you do research? How do you take your own actions and activities and put them in, you know, and what are the thought processes behind actually converting that information into a flowchart? So it is something that, you know, some people on the surface are really turned off by it. But it is something that, with just a little bit of practice, you know, can be, if not mastered, can definitely put yourself in a position where you can build some very effective, you know, process maps.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it really comes from practice, whether you're doing it just with a pencil scribbling on some paper or in a piece of software, it really doesn't matter. It's just a matter of practicing. Take the things you're seeing and doing in daily life, the products you come across, the websites you come across, and try just breaking them down into something that's on paper that is more of a graphical representation. I know when I first got started online, I would go to other people's sites and buy their products, watch the flow, and then turn that into a flow chart of how their website had the flow. How did the sales happen?
Yep.
Where did the traffic go? What was
right.
going on with it? And you could
yeah.
really easily then see exactly what was bringing a site money, what was causing those sales to not just be a one-time sale, but really turn into a seven- or eight-figure business just by mapping out what they were doing, which gives you
yeah.
great ideas for how to map out what you want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, so in I was going to use that exact same example, Gina. It's great. I mean, almost every time I buy something, right, and I'm not just talking about something that's in, you know, say in the internet marketing or entrepreneurial space. I'm talking like, you know, anything. I'll have a piece of paper there, and I'll make sure, because when I go through their checkout process, I'm taking
yeah.
notes and drawing little representations, because, you know, you can learn a ton from other people in their sales process and how you can apply that to your own.
Yes.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I talked on the show about a toy I had bought for my dog from an infomercial. And
mm-hmm.
while I was on the telephone making this purchase, I was mapping out exactly what was going on in this process. They had 12 upsells after I bought the little $9.99 toy for my dog. And
mm-hmm.
if I would have bought everything in that whole series of upsells and downsells, I would have spent more than almost $500, and I would have been hooked in on $150 a month monthly commitment on top of that from buying
mm-hmm.
a $9.99 toy. Now, that's
mm-hmm.
where money comes into a business. It's not from the $9.99 toy. It's from all that other stuff that happens beyond. And it
yeah.
becomes so crystal clear exactly what the person making the sales and putting the system together is doing when you map it out. It was interesting
right.
because the thing I wouldn't have caught until I started mapping it was, as you go through, it was an automated system, so you didn't talk to a live person.
Yeah. Mm.
They would ask you first, do you want to add this? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. But after a couple of times of saying press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, they switched to pressing 1 for no and 2 for yes. And if you weren't paying attention and you were just hitting the one button, you would have bought almost half of the products that were pitched. Very, very, very clever. And I really picked up on it only because I was mapping it out.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
the interesting thing is, as you were talking about that, you were talking about a dog toy, and what I was surprised at when you were talking about it on the air, Gina, was how about half of the products were not even anything that a dog lover or dog owner could want. I mean, jewelry,
yep.
not to say they might not, but it had nothing to do with dogs. And I know I just kept thinking, my gosh, you know, we put stuff together for them with joint ventures. That could be so much more great things for dog lovers. How much better would that be, you know, rather than jewelry and all this other kind of stuff? So it's just
jewelry, a discount buying club, I mean, all kinds of stuff that didn't relate to the pet market.
Exactly.
Said that either A, they really, really didn't know how to do their marketing, but they were too clever in everything else. They knew how to market. Or B, they were so clever in their marketing that they really studied their audience and what their audience really wanted. And so rather than just continuing to sell $9.99 dog ties all the way through, they really looked for higher ticket products that they could sell to the audience buying the dog toy.
I would love to know how many of those other, you know, the jewelry and the other stuff that they sell, because I always keep thinking, well, what if they sold a dog vitamin, pet insurance, you know, different things. And so it makes you wonder, and you start
yeah.
thinking about the system, the map that goes through. Why was each decision made? This is not a newbie company that doesn't know what they're doing. So I always wonder, well, why is this so, and what kind of numbers are they getting? That's the kind of stuff that you can start seeing and understanding when you get something mapped out in some way that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun
yeah.
one to map out, there's a company called Barton Publishing. You'll find them at bartonpublishing.com. They
mm-hmm.
sell about 50 different reports, all of them on an alternative health kind of topic. So how to cure gallstones at home, how to reduce your blood pressure naturally, those kinds of things. every one of their products has between 3 and 8 upsells after it. And I bought about 5 or 6 of their products just to watch the process. Man, another really good example of how mapping things out can give you great ideas about what to do for yourself.
What did you notice, Gina?
Well, I noticed that for every single product, there were at least 2 upsells for products that were not their own, that were clearly examples of what I'd call integration marketing, where they were using other people's products in their profit funnel. And those usually came in the middle of the process, not at the beginning or at the end. They also really did a good job of understanding that if someone's really looking at an alternative health report on this topic, they'd probably be interested in other alternative health topics too. And so every one of the offers would include some other package of offers. So 3-pack, pick any 3 reports you want, buy all of the reports, or if they had specific topics, they would find other related reports and package only those related reports into the package. They did a really good job of doing those types of things. And all the way through, it was really trying to serve you, not just sell you. Each one of those sales pages that they would put together really showed you why they wanted you to have this product and not something else. And they did a really good job of conveying that to the reader very simply.
Yeah, so it was based on the value that it would provide for the customer's life and experience.
Yeah, and they would use statistics to their benefit. So, for example, on the gallstones one, the next upsell said something about a certain percentage of people who suffer from gallstones also have another issue, and these other 2 reports can help you if you fall into that group.
Wow.
And so they really did a good job of understanding who the market would be for each of the 50 or so reports that they have. When I start flowcharting things out, if I'm not flowcharting somebody else's process, I start from either the bottom of the flowchart or the right-hand side of the flowchart, whatever is going to be my end point, and I work my way backwards to figure out where to go so that I can make sure that I'm planning things out very strategically. And my first place, my starting point, only becomes clear as I do that. That's a hard thing for me to teach to my students, Brad. How do you start your flowchart, one specific flowchart or cash map, and how do you teach other people to do that?
Yeah, you know, that I will use that technique, in arrears or starting at the end and working backwards. But for me, and I think it's just, again, how different people think, but that's a very effective method, that backward planning.
Right.
You know, I actually build... the other way. I'll identify what the start is. Okay, where what my starting point is. So I'm kind of, by doing this, I'm kind of bounding what my system is, or what I'm
okay.
building. And so I'll start and say, okay, well, this is my starting point, and this is my ending point. Okay, so I'll bound the start and end, and say, here's where I'm starting, and here's my goal. You know, here's what I want at the end. And then assuming right that I've already done what I talked about earlier, which is identifying all the the actions that I know are kind of part of this, but I'm not sure what order, then I will actually start working it from front to back is the way that I do it and the way that, the way that we teach it. All right. But I think, you hit right on it, right? Is that backward planning or whatever we want to call it for this conversation, we'll just call it backward planning for that. That's very, very effective. But I do believe the same as you, that it's harder for people to grasp hold of. And so from a teaching standpoint, with the people we work with, we'll teach them, no, start at the beginning and then just work your way through it and fill it out by pulling the actions and or decisions from the list that you had.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That makes some sense.
What's interesting, I find real interesting is that, just the last couple minute discussion where Gina and Rhonda, you were talking about some great examples there. That's where, having that level of, this is a big word that is going to scare people, but I call it like systemic consciousness. You know, being to be able to look at stuff in terms of systems. And you know, so what you two were just discussing, right, was how systems and having that ability to look at things in terms of systems and how they relate. You were doing a lot of strategic, you know, thinking. You're having a strategic conversation there about, you know, the strategy behind why companies are doing things, why their sales processes or marketing funnels are set up in a, you know, in a certain way. And I think that's a very important message to convey to the listeners, you know, because a lot of people think of, well, process a system, it's just about, you know, getting things done. It's like, yeah, you know, how do I do, or what do I want to do, now how do I do it and put it in order? Yeah, that's one part of it. But, you know, what we talked about earlier is being a business owner, to being able to think strategically. You know, just doing something simple like starting to map things out will help to condition your mind and open the mind for, you know, looking at things on your business and in other businesses, looking at how pieces fit together. And that opens the door to more, you know, thinking in a strategic manner rather than the tactical manner of just being caught in all the low-level, menial, day-to-day tasks.
Well, you know what I think really helped me to develop that strategic thinking skill, because that one really is a skill. Mm-hmm. All my life, since I was probably in the third or fourth grade, I have enjoyed doing something called logic puzzles. And if you go to your local Walgreens over by the crossword puzzles and the Sudoku puzzles, you'll see that both Bell and Penny Press have books called logic puzzles or logic problems. They're kind of like the things you used to get in algebra, where they tell you a story and you'd have to figure something out. Well, these little stories will have things that you have to match up, and they might have five different people who each have a different address, who each planted different things in their garden, who each had different colors of houses. And you'd have to figure out which person lived at what address with what flower, with what color paint it and whatnot, and match them up. And they'd give you a little grid that you would use to help solve the puzzle and come up with the logical matching. I do those puzzle books like in a matter of 2 or 3 days with a couple hundred puzzles. I could sit there for hours doing those.
Yeah, most people can't come anywhere close to that. Probably couldn't do one in the 2 months between the subscription or whatever, a whole puzzle book. But, yeah, I mean, they are great.
I couldn't do that when I was a kid and I was just starting out with them. But even when I sit and studied for 2 bar exams in a 3-month period as I was getting out of law school, it was really the logic puzzles that helped me study for the bar exams, not the $8,000 bar review courses that I took. It was a matter of getting that critical thinking skill fixed in my head that helped me be able to pass the bar exams very easily instead of having to sit down and memorize case law. I mean, I didn't get anything at all out of memorizing case law, and it certainly wouldn't have helped me become a better lawyer. But the thinking skills that come from using those logic puzzles are really, really important to becoming a lawyer. So I don't know if you've got anything that you can suggest people use as a tool for developing that part of their thinking.
That is something that is great. That's a great example. That to me right there is a great example. I don't necessarily, usually the tools and such that I recommend is what we've been discussing, you know, which is the process mapping and flow charting. I just feel that when you're able to, you know, kind of engage the, you know, the right side of your brain, the creative side of your brain and the, you know, the more visual side, right, to start putting things on paper and look at, just starting small, looking at how things connect, then I just think it actually is a, you know, a thinking skill, as you mentioned, Gina, that is developed. So I haven't really came across anything. I don't really have any recommendations, honestly, that say, hey, you know, do this, you know, to improve that, other than what we've been talking about, which is really starting to look at things in a visual flow charting type manner, and just get started, you know, like anything. In fact, as I was sitting here, I came back inside, I'm looking at my computer, and an email popped up, and it's and the quote that's on it says, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing, is a quote from Walt Disney.
That's
you know, I'm just
great.
Looking at that. Yeah, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, You know, the same thing for systems here. It's like people, so I hear so many clients, they'll say, okay, well, I get what you're saying, but, you know, I'm just going to have to find some time to, you know, to really dive into this. And really, it's like, no, just start now. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be right. There is no right or wrong answer. Just start putting stuff down on paper, you know, for your
right.
business in one format or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my favorite quote is one that I repeat often on this show, and it's something that Tony Robbins quoted me on last summer. It is, winners take imperfect action while losers are still perfecting the plan. And boy, I can't stress that enough. It's about taking action and getting started. You don't necessarily come into this existence with these types of thinking skills. But anybody can really develop them simply by practicing them.
That's
just
right.
Like
anything.
I mean, playing golf. I don't know that anybody that went out in the first round of golf that they've ever played shot a hole in one. But boy, if you work at it enough, you're probably going to shoot a hole in one at some point during your life. There really is a way of practicing that causes our bodies and our minds to start conforming to what we want them to do. And it's just a matter of being disciplined and focused. The last two weekends I've been at Nitro Marketing events. This past weekend was their beginning event called Everyday Online Entrepreneur, and the weekend before was a four-day event that's the second in their series of five called Full-Time Online. And the thing that impressed me more than anything the past two weekends was how much people accomplished in only a couple of days. This first event in their series that was this weekend, people would come into it, they knew they wanted a business, they had absolutely no idea what kind of business they wanted to build. They would find their niche, they would choose their keywords, they would figure out who their prospects were, what problems they had. They would find their domain names. Their blogs were set up with their own graphics and their own looks. They would write at least 2 to 3 articles by the end of the weekend for that blog. They would have a mastermind group formed and have done some activities to really solidify the mastermind group. And by the time they walked out on Sunday, they had a clear action plan. Oh, they had found affiliate products. And they had a clear action plan for what to do to drive traffic to their blog to sell products as an affiliate in 3 days. I know people who have worked for 3 years that didn't accomplish all of that.
Right.
And the weekend before was even more amazing. They came in the first day knowing that they had a blog, that they were an expert in this arena, that these were the people that they served. They outlined a free and a paid product. They then recorded it. The team went off and transcribed and edited both products. They wrote their squeeze page. They wrote their opt-in page. They set up their shopping cart autoresponder and affiliate program. The team tied it all together and put it up online for them. They found their keywords. They set up a pay-per-click campaign, and by the time they left on Sunday, they were getting traffic to their opt-in, which would then go to their sales page for their paid product in 4 days.
That's awesome.
Talk about incredible. So I started thinking, what is it that caused them to get so far so quickly? And what really did it was focused short bursts of time on a specific task. So to write their opt-in page, they would have 2 minutes to write 5 potential headlines. Well, shoot, most people can't write one headline in 2 minutes, much less 5. They'd have 3 minutes to write 10 bullet points, from which they would select 4 or 5 for their opt-in page. People can't do that in only a couple of minutes, but yet they did. And by making them have to do it in a certain focused time, they got it done. There were no excuses.
Yeah.
There were no interruptions. And I don't think people discipline themselves enough to be able to do those short, focused bursts of energy on a specific topic. And instead, they allow all these distractions in. And I think with creating systems like we've been talking about, that's one of the keys.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brad.
I was just going to say, no, without a doubt, it's even harder, right? It's harder to get dedicated and focused like that when there, you know, for a lot of people, when there's not a deadline, you know. And I'm even guilty of this at some point, right? It's like I can get really dedicated, really focused, and I can bang out a ton of work in a short amount of time, especially when it's due to, you know, today at 5 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things. That's one of the things that, you know, I struggle with and always have is that, and I'm working on that right now, is when we call these we call what you just described as surge processes, to put surge processes in place that are done on a consistent manner without any deadline. So for instance, there's a deadline for the surge process itself. Like we're going to, you know, whatever, let's say come up with 5 headlines, but it's not because I have a product that I'm trying to relaunch at 5 o'clock today. It's as part of a larger process. It's because as part of our content building, you know, process, I know that this has to be done, you know, every week or whatever. And it's on a certain day or whatever that we do it. And so, you know, I was going to say that not only the dedicated focused action, but taking that dedicated focused action in the course of a normal work day rather than just, you know, the deadlines and such. So Rhonda, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
No, that's fine. That's exactly what I was getting at. I talked to somebody this past week and she said, you know, every month I have to do this opinion poll and it seems like I spend 3.5 weeks trying to figure out what to do, and then it takes me forever to write it. I said, well, it only takes a person about 60 seconds to do it. So I said, she says, do you have any ideas? I said, give yourself no more than 15 minutes start to finish, you know, starting with whatever the particular questions or issues that are in the forum right now for this particular group, and use that to make your poll. It's only going to be like 5 or 6 long. So I said, just give yourself 15 minutes start to finish, because there's no reason that it should be something that keeps you up tossing and turning at night over something that's not even going to bring you money.
That's right on. And you know, like I'll give you another thing about systems too that I've just learned over the years. I think is very, very powerful, and that is there's this difference. Let me try to frame this correctly without confusing people. You know, okay, so processes and systems, right, enter into the left brain, you know, the logical side. And people, there's people that think, you know, more on the left-hand side, and there's people that think more, you know, the creative side that really do not want to touch processes with a 10-foot pole. And so, you know, we'll routinely run into clients who are, you know, creative. They're generating, let's say, multi-millions of dollars you know, online or in their own, whatever their business is, but they're maxed out, they're strapped because their creative sense and everything's running through them. They're not systematized, they can't scale, they can't outsource anything, right? So there's this dilemma that people run into, and it's like, wow, I'm constrained by, I don't want to be constrained, I want to be creative. And that type of mentality for me, like for instance, if you combine that with what I call surge processes, right? So for me, my blog post, people always ask me, it's like, why, you know, you spend the time every day to write that? And it's like, yeah, I do, you know, and I have I have a surge process basically that is like, I know what I'm going to write on and boom, I bang it out. Sometimes it takes me 10 minutes. Other times, you know, maybe it does take me a little bit more revisions and thought through it and it takes me 35 minutes or something. But the point is, it gets done every single day. And What in that, rather than saying, this is where I'm getting to on this, rather than constraining myself, even though I'm a systems guy, even though I do think in the left side of my brain as much as my right, it's one of those where I don't say to myself, I have to write that blog post every day at 5 a.m. or every day at 9 a.m. I don't say that. What I say is that's one of my checklist items in my daily system, right, is that has to be done. But you know what? If I want to do it, like I haven't written mine yet today. I will write it yet. I'll write it yet this afternoon when we're done on the radio here. And so it's one of those things that you give yourself constrain yourself to say, hey, I know I have to get this blog post done every day, but give yourself the flexibility to be creative in your day. That's one thing that I've learned. You know, I used to always try to plan everything out, and really that's the old way of like linear, logical thinking. Hey, at 9 a.m. I'm doing this, 10 a.m. I'm doing this, 11 a.m. I'm doing that. And some people still work well like that. But if that's not you,
it's not me.
The fallback is, and this is, you know, this is something that I think is so, so important. The fallback is have that list of things that you need to do on a daily basis. But if you're tired at 9 a.m., you know what? Go take a break. Go take a 20-minute break. You don't have to do it right at 9 a.m. You can do it at 10 a.m. You can do it later. And so, but you know that by the end of the day, you have to get a certain amount of things done. And that's where I think a lot of people fall down, because they're like, they're just busy. As I said, we talked about this right at the beginning of the call, right? They're just busy. It's like, oh, well, I worked 12 hours today. Well, what did you actually accomplish? And there's no plan or thought behind it. So it might be I ventured off a little bit of, took our conversation in a little different direction, but it just kind of came to mind there that systems do not have to be all about constraining you and restraining you. They can actually allow freedom and flexibility in your day, but still provide you with a container, so to speak.
And that's something I really had to learn, because I'm a very creative, go with the flow kind of a person. And so, you know, a while back, I remember thinking of systems as, I can see they have value. We do kind of have systems for doing things, but I didn't want to feel constrained. And what I realized is, if nothing else, if things that you do feel very intuitive, if you start to catch yourself doing whatever you do naturally, you'll start to realize that there is a system behind what you do. Some of the things are tasks like blogging or, you know, writing articles, but some things that people do are kind of a natural part of their way of thinking. Like you guys who are just phenomenal with the strategic thinking, and a lot of people are, they're like, I know a good photographer, and she knows that she can get great shots of animals, but at first she didn't know how she did it. And I was like, well, start catching yourself. What is the first thing you notice that makes you realize you're about to get a great shot, and then what's the next thing after that? And then she started to be able to map out her system, which was based on a very creative process, but it was still a system that had the kinds of steps that you are talking about in, you know, the cash maps and other kinds of systems. So it really is a source of freedom, and that takes it from somebody who is extremely, very much into creative and flow.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, and there's, that's the thing. It's really not a battle. In fact, that's what it's typically posed as, is it's a battle. It's like, well, if you're creative and, you know, you get in flow, well, you know what, that's great, but you need to systematize, you know, and it's like, it's really, there's a middle ground there that one helps the other, because people that are so constrained to, you know, to the processes oftentimes will squash their creativity, and, you know, that's a whole nother conversation of which I'm writing. That's Rhonda, that's my book that I'm writing on right now, but it's one of those things on, you know, where a lot of researchers and scientists will say that the highest point of creativity in people is at five years of age, and that, you know, that age is there because that's when the point that children typically are entering in the public school system and such. And whether you believe it or not, you know, our culture and our society really does a great job of squashing, you know, the innate creativity. Because,
yes, it does,
because
doesn't it?
You know, yeah. And so that's why entrepreneurialism is such a challenge today, because, you know, I believe that we're all born with that innate ability, but, you know, we really have to be successful entrepreneurs in spite of society, you know. And so that's where, Rhonda, that example you just gave right there is right on. I couldn't even said it better myself. So very powerful stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, and one of the things off of that too, like if you go to bradsemp.com, you'll notice my tagline there is systems for real people, and really I get a lot of questions from people like that. It's like, what is that? What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is exactly what the conversation that we just had, is that what's happened in today's environment, right? Is that people in companies and such have focused so much on the systems, and, you know, outsourcing them. Let me give you an example. The automotive industry. I worked for 12 years in the automotive industry, from, you know, engineer to executive level manager. And the automotive industry, as we all know, the last 18 months has been a tough area to be in. But if I look back 5-10 years ago, when I was in that, I watched it over and over again. That one example is the outsourcing that happened overseas and such. And what was really going on there was people were taking their systems and processes, like, you know, it was so short-sighted about cost that it wasn't about building systems that leveraged the creative side of humans that could provide a competitive advantage for the American car companies. Instead, it was all short-sighted of, let's just take our systems and outsource it over there, overseas to where the costs are lower. And so what's happened is, people have forgotten and overlooked now the ability to build systems that leverage the strengths of people. And from us as marketers and entrepreneurs and that sort of thing, we oftentimes forget that the products that we're creating, the sales processes that we're building, the marketing funnels that we're setting out there, should be designed for interacting with a human in mind. Same thing with customer service processes. And that's a lot of stuff that I write about on my blog, about, you know, real-life examples and case studies of companies today that build these systems. You know, great, that's awesome. They put an automated system in for the, you know, for your the telephony, where you're in there and you're trying to get a hold of somebody, you can't get to a freaking person, you know? Great system that we have there, save the company money, but it's pissed off all the companies that have forgotten that systems are for real people. So just a kind of a sidebar type thing there, more conversation about systems.
Well, I think that's an important thing for people to hear, though, because you're right. Systems, I find the creative people think that systems are not necessarily for them. And they really are for everybody.
That's right. Yeah. And it's where they can help one another, right? Creative people, if bound properly, can keep creative people focused. And this is completely stereotyping.
Absolutely.
Here, but you know, creative people can be made more productive by putting a boundary around their creativity and making sure that their creative efforts are moving forward towards a goal. Procedural people or process people can serve to or can stand to be improved and their process be improved, be more efficient, more streamlined, come up with ideas or solutions that are outside of the box by understanding that there's a creative nature and that system and that really everything we do in this world is interacting with humans who are by design, you know, have a creative side to them. It's not ones and zeros of computers. And so together they come together and in the center there is where really you can gain some real strong leveraging and benefits if you understand both sides.
Sorry about Pritzer. I'm gonna mute for a minute.
No problem.
That's what doggies do.
That's funny.
Yeah, and
Greg didn't have to stop talking just because I did.
No, I was going to say, I wanted to tell people where they can find Brad, so let me take a moment to do that right now, and that Brad at asktsl.com/cashmap, asktsl.com/cashmap. You can find Brad as well as bradsemp.com, and so and that's where it'll help you. I mean, this has been such a phenomenal conversation about systems. There are lots of absolute golden nuggets in this show, and I think for anybody who is working at being more strategic in how you do business, this is a great show to listen to.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Sorry about this, guys. Oh, no problem.
He goes on a latte run for mommy to Starbucks about this time every day, and he knows that means he's going to get his glass of whipped cream. And so he starts going bonkers the minute he sees Bill pick up his car keys because he's like, oh, yes, my whipped cream's coming.
Oh, how good. I love that. That's very, very funny.
Well, you've got Princess, and I've got four kids running around, so hopefully they haven't been too loud in the background there.
I haven't heard your kids even once.
Okay, good. Well, we crossed paths only once. I traded them. I started the call sitting out on the edge of our pool. And then they wanted to come out and swim, and so they went out, and I came in. So that was probably the only time. But, yeah, so the I just wanted to say, too, Rhonda, that, you know, the link that you gave where folks can find us, and Minda, if you can give that again, we're for folks that sign up, and this is just something that we have there, for folks that sign up to our CashMap newsletter, we give actually two full free CashMap packages. And the digital value, you know, on those is $77 each. So $154 worth of retail cash map packages. And we're currently right now we have on there YouTube marketing cash map and webmaster tools through traffic generation. So
nice.
we have two full cash map packages there that are completely free just for registering for our newsletter. So just want to make that point to folks.
Thank you so much, and you're always up to something, What big projects are you working on these days?
You know, we have some cool things coming down the pipe here. But one of the big ones, the next one that will be out, is we've got a comprehensive marketing package for Facebook marketing. That's one of the biggest ones that we've got coming on. That's actually is going to contain multiple cash map packages with over 100 step-by-step videos that coincide with the cash map. So it's actually reading through the cash maps, you want to know more, you watch the video that corresponds to the steps. So that's one of the big things that we've got coming down the pipe, and we've also got a whole comprehensive.
When is that expected to be out?
That will be out in July.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook will be out in July. We'll be informing people of the exact date here shortly, through our newsletter and through our communication channels. And then in the first of August timeframe, between first and middle of August, we're going to be releasing another full comprehensive program that leverages pretty much all of our 65 plus cash map packages that we have right now, but takes people through basically from aspiring entrepreneur to entrepreneurial success. So it starts at the beginning and says, hey, somebody that's just like, I'm in a corporate environment, I hate my job, I want to do something else. Well, we're going to walk people through from start to finish, which is really leveraging not only my own experience and expertise over many years, but of also some great partners in that, and all based on the cash map format, the step-by-step cash map format. So those are some of the two big things that we've got going on right now. But we also have lots of other things for each one of our 65 plus packages. There's things happening with each one of those, special launches going on with each, and again, all that we keep everyone notified through our newsletter. So lots of good stuff. Thanks for asking.
Oh, my goodness. You always have some good stuff going on. I'm going to have to make sure you let me know about the Facebook one, because that's one that I have a lot of people ask me about Facebook and what to do with Facebook. And the one product that I had created on Facebook is almost a year and a half old now. And as you know, Facebook has changed so much in the last 12 months even.
I say that hits me right in the gut when you said that, because we were actually all set to launch it, right? And guess what Facebook decides to do? They decide that, fan pages are not the terminology we want to use anymore. We want to use like pages. So, I say that lovingly because all of our cash map packages are maintained. So, my team, we understand, and it's not like we don't put something out there and then just say, hey, whatever, if it changes, it changes. No, we're always keeping them up to date. So we understand that comes with territory. But that one really hits me because it's like we were right there ready to launch, and then Facebook decides to make changes. So we're that's what's actually our delay right now is
I've updated the product twice now, and it's just gotten to the point where I just finally stopped even promoting it or selling it or anything, because it's just too hard to keep up with Facebook. I could make that a full-time job.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you've got something
absolutely.
On Facebook that you do update, I would much rather promote your stuff than my own. So I don't have to do work.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you some links before the end of the week with everything that you need to take a peek at it. And
thank you. I would love that. That would help a lot.
That'll help, both of us, because people ask about Facebook, too, and I'm like, gosh, everything changes. I don't want to have to create a product and become a Facebook expert, and it seems like every time I look at somebody's product, I'm not always real thrilled with them, so.
Definitely. I'll send to both of you. And, that one brings up another point, too. LinkedIn, that's another one that we have coming here. In fact, a gentleman by the name of Lewis Howes. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, LinkedIn has been tremendous for me, and so, find me, for anyone who's listening and wants to connect, really connect on anything. I'm not a person who keeps, really does a good job of separating my my private personal social media versus non. So
I
accept anybody on Facebook. I accept anybody on LinkedIn. So just look me up there. But LinkedIn is one of those things that I have a gentleman by the name of Lewis Howes. Now, I'm not sure, Gina or Rhonda, do you guys know Lewis?
I know of him, but I don't know him personally.
So Lewis is a an expert in LinkedIn, and so he has just really helped guide me over the past year or so on leveraging the power of LinkedIn. And so I leveraged LinkedIn big time for my blog distribution and discussion and posting news that gets great traction. And so we work with Lewis to put together LinkedIn cash map. And that one, we're going to be kicking that off. In fact, him and I are supposed to talk later today to grab the date. It'll either be late this month or early July. So that's another one similar to Facebook that I think is very, very powerful, and that's coming down the pipe right now. So just that's another one to be aware of. And then two more just to put out there, two names that that are also have been impactful and were just launched. One is Financial Survival Cash Map. And that's all about managing your finances, getting out of debt, creating some money systems to turn your financial system around, situation around. And that's at financialsurvivalcashmap.com. That's one. And then the second one here for folks that are doing email marketing and that sort of thing. We've recently came across, and I've experienced many, many different email marketing systems that I know quite in depth. But we've settled on one recently that has just revolutionized the way that we've been able to automate our business, not only our business, but our clients' business, and that's FeedBlitz, FeedBlitz. And we partnered with FeedBlitz to put together a whole package there, too, that shows you how you can really revolutionize your email marketing, automate it, and leverage what your content to get maximum bang for your time. And that was just launched at feedblitzcashmap.com. So, financialsurvivalcashmap.com and feedblitzcashmap.com are two of the most recent packages that are up there and ready for were just launched and providing some great value for our customers.
Great. And how I love authors. And so, Brad, congrats on your book that is in the show notes, your book up on Amazon. I'm really, really excited. I remember knowing you and talking to you as you were doing your degree, going, oh, I got to finish this degree so I can go and write my book and do all this other stuff. And, it was quite the journey. So it's very, very exciting for me. I feel like everybody's books are my little grandchildren in a way, because I get to know all you authors while you're writing them everything. It's so great.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much. In fact, that particular book there, which is the Financial Survival Guide, which is what Rhonda's mentioning on Amazon, that one coincides with our Financial Survival Cash Map package. And, I failed to even mention that. We're giving a free digital version of that Financial Survival Guide book away right now when you download the free strategy cash map at financialsurvivalcashmap.com. So, you get the free digital version of that as well as the strategy cash map. So yeah, that's a shorter book version, that came out to coincide with that. And I'm working on a much more in-depth and larger book called Buck the System. And so that's something that I'm sure Rhonda, you and I'll be talking about in the near future.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. And you need some reviews up there. So once I get to read the ebook, I will write a review for you on Amazon.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Well, I want to go take a look at that financial survival package, because I teach a process that I call the Content Creators Program that can be used by anybody, even if they don't have a business, they don't have a website, they don't have a list, they don't have any of those things. It can easily, with very little effort, generate $500 to $1,500 a month. And if you want to put in a full-time effort, $3,000 to $5,000 a month, from about 20 to 30 hours a week, I should take a look at what you're doing with the financial survival thing and see if I can use that as a back end of the content creators program that I've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, it's really about the financial survival is a little bit different approach, you know, so it's not necessarily about as much business related as it, you know, ties, of course, right? But because you've got to generate revenue to survive financially. But that one's focused more on a personal standpoint of understanding, you know, your finances, taking the right steps, you know, basically shows you the step-by-step what you need to do to get out of debt, to solidify yourself financially. But then, and from memory, I was just looking at this here today, the cash step 1.13 is, you know, create money systems, and ideally multiple money systems with residual, efforts. And
that's the same way that the content creators program works. It's
right.
It's definitely a residual type of money stream. So once
you're
going to get paid.
Yep.
Right.
So when you said that, I'm just like, that's so perfect. You know, so it's like, there's like two things, and you know, that's one of the things that's so very important is that, you know, people, they'll jump in the entrepreneurial space and then they're like, you know, oh, I got bills to pay and I've got debt I need to get rid of. And I, you know, in fact, I had a gentleman just, met with me in the Orlando area and said, hey, I need to generate X number of dollars in the next 30 days. You know, and you know what my answer was? My answer was, you need to go find yourself a job.
And a job.
Because,
yeah, same exact answer I have for people.
You know, that is not the, I'm not going to sit here and sell easy money to people. And it's one of those things that you need to stabilize. To be successful as an entrepreneur, you need to stabilize your, you know, your income. You need to stabilize your financial situation, and then and only then. That's something that in my work, working with Mark Joyner, Mark was, you know, a big proponent of that, and I give him the credit for that. I completely agree. That is when he said that multiple times, I'm like, that is so right on. You've got to get yourself financially stable, and then from there you can, you know, you can have the right mindset and such to move forward and to build, you know, a long-lasting, sustainable, and scalable business. And that's kind of what Financial Survival Cash Map is, you know, is all about, getting your financial situation under control and then adding the monetary streams.
I tell people all the time that there are plenty of things that I can show them how to do quickly that will make them some money. But that is not going to build a sustainable business. If they really want to build a sustainable business, they need to be prepared for the next 3 to 6 months to not bring any money in, because it takes that long to get the pieces of the sustainable business put together. You might start trickling some money in 90 days or so, but it's certainly not going to be making $30,000 or $50,000 a month in 30 to 90 days. It just isn't going to happen.
No, somebody might hit it big, you know. But it's few and far between, and that's the reason. That's the precise reason, Gina, that systems are so difficult for people. You know, we're going full circle here, right? It's because systems aren't going to produce the $10,000, you know, tonight by midnight. That's not what systems are all about. Systems are about, you know, changing your mind. Being able to think strategically, to position your business, to grow your business, to scale your business, to create a profitable business over time. And that's one of the other reasons why people, you know, they're like, oh, you know, they ask me all the time, should I focus on systems or should I make money first? And it's like, oh, my word. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you're growing a business and systems are a key component of growing that business. You need to take a holistic approach at this, and building systems is one of the things that you need to do as part of your business activities.
Lately, most of the events that I've been going to in the last 3 months or so, I keep meeting all these people who 1 to 2 weeks before the event lost their job. They either got fired, got laid off, but somehow their income stopped. And they're coming to the seminar because they see that as the quickest solution in the next 2 to 4 weeks to bringing in an income. And then going, and where are you starting with? Well, they're starting from scratch. Yeah, not going to happen. They should have saved their money so that they could be better prepared for the next 2 to 4 weeks of building things. Frustrates me to no end. Well, Brett, I am so glad we finally got you on this show. I cannot stress highly enough for our listeners the importance of today's call in their business. Thank you for really helping people to understand that systems are for everybody, not just for people who have strong logical thinking skills. and for producing a product that can help anybody to start really using a more strategic approach to growing a business. So thank you again. Rhonda, why don't you give out the links for people to find Brad one more time?
Absolutely. You can get those two free cash maps and I guess a free version of the ebook now too at asktsl, T as in the, S as in story, L as in lady, .com/cashmap. asktsl.com/cashmap. And bradsemp.com is where Brad blogs and every day has really fantastic and well thought out articles that help you with your business strategy. And see, the thing is, you want to become successful, hang with successful people, crawl inside their minds, find out how they think, and you can then adopt and help yourself to gain those particular skills and behaviors that you want to have. So, Brad, it is a pleasure, and boy, once we're done here, I've got something else I want to talk with you about that'll be really cool, I think. So it's just been a pleasure and very exciting to have you on our show today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Gina and Rhonda, and I look forward to speaking with both of you very, very soon.
Thank you, and we will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio, when our guest will be Mike Evans, the sales manager from Keyword Spy and JV manager from Nitro Marketing. I cannot wait to pick his brain about all of his secrets for networking in a profitable way. So take care, everybody, and have a great week.
You too.